And I be the ones or not, Lord, you know the reasons. I just pray that you be this evening service that might honor and glorify you. And I just pray that you just be with it as every aspect of it. I just pray that you look after the song service, and I pray that you just bless it. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's all take your hymnals. Turn on to hymn number 411. Hymn number 411. All the four. Back to 363 wonderful words of life. thank you. Maybe see them.
Well, awesome. It's good to be in the Lord's house tonight. If you've got a Bible and you can, turn to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. As you're turning there, I have a card that says, from both of us on Father's Day. What can we wish for? Wish you for Father's Day? Happiness, lots of it. The heart of the family kind, the surrounded by love kind, the everlasting forever kind, all that times two because it's from both of us. Have a wonderful Father's Day. Fathers of SMBT, Love in Christ, Eddie, O, and Ellen. And so it was awful nice of them to send a Father's Day card to all the fathers, and so appreciate that. And then I need to grant a letter for the Mike Klutschka family, Mike, Debbie, Laura, Emily, Benny, and Rachel. And they've united with Lenexa Baptist. All in favor, good hearty amen. That's not very hearty. I mean, it's been hot. I get it. Let's try it again. A good hearty amen?
Amen.
I don't like granting them either, but, you know, everybody goes where everybody needs to go so that they can grow. That's the thing. All right, Isaiah chapter 53. This is one of the most exciting chapters in the book of Isaiah, I believe. It's known as the Messiah's chapter. The suffering Messiah is seen here in Isaiah chapter 53. As I'm getting set up there and there myself, I would remind you that tomorrow is Mrs. Parrott's funeral, and her funeral will be over at Maple Hills, and Maple Hills, something like that. It's right up from Marilyn's house, so if you get lost, you can just pull in. Donnie will make you a lemonade and all that kind of stuff. But so her viewing is like 9:30, funeral at 10:30. And so you can mark that down and at least be praying if you cannot attend. I know that they would appreciate those prayers. And so we come to Isaiah chapter 53, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1 here. We've entitled this, The Suffering Messiah. Verse 1. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid it as if it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he hath done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteous servant justify many? For he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Lord, we love you tonight, and we thank you for the opportunity to be gathered together. We thank you for the ability to be able to sing and sing praises to your name. We thank you for the cooling, the air conditioner in the church, Lord, for the ability to come and be somewhat comfortable. Lord, we thank you for that. And we're thankful for Isaiah 53, where we have a description of Jesus's life here upon this earth and what he endured for the sins of mankind and the price that was paid for our sins, that heaven might be our eternal home. And Lord, we just ask tonight that you would Open your word to our minds and our thinkings. Open our hearts, Lord, that we'd be receptive to you, that we might hear from you, that we might come to know you in a greater way. And I just pray for a working of the Holy Spirit in our lives and our hearts, that you would be honored and glorified through all these things. We love you, and we thank you for our time together tonight. We ask these things in your blessed and most holy name. Amen. So the first thing we see is the overview. The overview, verses 1 through 2, and we see the first thing under the overview is the facts about Messiah's message. And so there in verse number 1, it says, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" Isaiah realizes that his Calvary predictions are so amazing that few will believe him. He's trying to inform them, look, the Messiah is coming. When the Messiah comes, this is what's going to happen. He's going to be crucified. And so many of the Israelites were looking for a king that might free them from Roman bondage. And yet Jesus was coming to spiritually free mankind, where they were wanting a ruler that would rule over them and they might establish this great kingdom. And Jesus was coming that all men might be saved. And so there is the facts about the Messiah's message, and then there are facts about Isaiah, or about Isaiah's Messiah. In verse number 2, it says, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form, no comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should be desired." And so Jesus is, he's born of a baby in a manger. We know Christmas, amen, Christmas time. We celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It wasn't a magnificent birth. It wasn't a real celebrated birth all over the world. He was born in a manger to a virgin. And her and her husband were there. She brings forth this son without a lot of, the world would say, without a lot of fanfare. You know, there wasn't a lot of acknowledgement other than the fact that the angels sang and the shepherds came. Now, those two things are pretty cool, I think. I mean, if I was if it was fanfare by the world or the fact that angels would sing and the shepherds would come, I think I'd take what Jesus got. And so Jesus is born, and the Bible says that he grew up as a tender plant. He didn't stand out. He just grew up like any other child, as a root out of dry ground. And the Bible said he had no form nor comeliness. That means he wasn't all that. He wasn't all that, you know. You know, Hollywood would pass him by. If they were looking for a kid star, they would just look at Jesus and say he was an ordinary guy. Nothing stood out about him. Nothing would draw men to him. He came to be the Savior of mankind. That was his focus. That was the job that he came here to do. And it says, when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He just didn't have a standout look about him. It wasn't like he was running for, you know, a beauty king or anything like that. He was here for one purpose, and that was to glorify his Father and to die for the sins of mankind. And so that then brings us to his origin. And we find that in verse 4 and then the first part of verse number 10. And there we read in verse 4, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." You know, when they looked at Jesus dying on the cross for the sins of mankind, they said, "Oh, he must be hated. Look at what he's having to endure. This is no way. This isn't the way that God would treat his son." But the truth of the matter is that Jesus had to die that way on the cross of Calvary to die for our sins, to atone for the sins of mankind. And so he knew the griefs. He bore them. You'll remember while he's on the cross that the sin of the whole world, I believe that to be our griefs, our pains, our sorrows. He took all of them upon him, our guilt of sin, all of that was taken on him as he hung there on the cross of God. And some would say he was even smitten of God and afflicted. But Jesus Christ willingly went to the cross of Calvary and willingly allowed those things to be placed upon him that he might die for our sins. Aren't you glad he did? Man, I'm so glad that Jesus died for my sins. I have no way to pay for my sins. There's nothing that I can buy my way into heaven. I'm not good enough to get to heaven. The life that I lived before I met Jesus, boy, it was just an utter wreck. Then I met Jesus, and you know, he's cleaned me up, and he's given me a hope and a happiness and a joy, and I'm looking forward to going to heaven. But there's nothing in me other than the fact that I accepted Jesus Christ that merits heaven. There's nothing in you that will allow you to deserve going to heaven other than Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. By the way, if he's not your Savior, you don't go. You're not going to go any other way. Not going because of who you know. You're not going because of what you've done here on this earth. No, the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ, through his shed blood. Then we see the ordeal. Our third point, the ordeal. In verse number 3, our letter A here, is he is belittled in life. You know, verse 3 says he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Christ was despised and rejected by all of Israel's leaders. We follow the life of Jesus. We see the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They're always coming to bring accusation. They're always trying to trip Jesus up. They didn't want to admit that he was the Son of God. They tried to belittle him in life. They tried to say, you're not worthy. There's nothing worthy about you, and you're not the Son of God. So Christ suffered that on our behalf. Then he was brutalized in his death. Verse 5 through 6 and 8 through 9. Verse 5 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Our sin was laid upon him. That word iniquity, their sin. Verse 8, he was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression or the sin of my people was he stricken. He hath made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Jesus endured imprisonment, various mock trials. He was beaten. He was wounded. They pulled his beard out. They beat his face. All this he suffered for our sins. And then he hung on the cross and he died. And they pierced his side. They take his body off of the cross like a common criminal. And there was a man named Joseph there to beg for the body of Jesus. And the scripture was fulfilled that he was buried among the rich, because this man came and took his body and placed it in his own grave. The fourth thing we see tonight is the obedience. Man, I'm so thankful that Jesus was obedient. Listen, parents, does it make you happy when your kids are obedient? Boy, it makes me happy. It's like, what's up? You know, especially if they're doing it on purpose. You know, hey, what's up? What is the moon aligned a certain way, or, you know, what's going on? How much more we ought to celebrate the fact of Jesus' obedience. Man, if he had been like us, sinful man, we would have balked out a long time ago. We had found a reason out. We had had loopholes, not Jesus. Verse 7 says, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. The Messiah suffers silently. He endures all this suffering. He is led knowing what has to happen, knowing how he's going to die. He is led. He keeps his mouth shut. He could have called angels to come and rescue him. Instead, he allows them to spread his arms and to drive the nails and to cross his feet and to drive the nails, to drop the cross in the hole that he would then hang there and die within a 3-hour time period, all for our sins. If he had not been obedient to the plan of dying for the sins of mankind, no one could ever, ever go to heaven. But because of his obedience, heaven's our eternal home. And so the obedience, then the outcome, Verse 10 through 12, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Notice we quickly passed over it, but he made his soul an offering for sin. He atoned for the sin of all mankind in the offering of his own body, in the offering of his own soul. He did that. Verse 11, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. His death assures spiritual life for countless multitudes. Throughout the time of age, man has turned to Jesus and accepted his death there on the cross of Calvary. They have sought the forgiveness of sins. Their sins have been covered by the blood of Jesus, and heaven's now their eternal home. I can only imagine how big heaven is. Have you ever thought about it? How big's heaven going to be? I mean, we've had people down through the ages saved. It's going to have to be pretty big, right? It's going to be a pretty awesome place. I can't wait to get there. His death assures spiritual life for the multitudes. He died that all mankind might be saved. Not a few, not a remnant, not some, but that all mankind might be saved. Doesn't matter how bad your life is. Doesn't matter what a wreck you've made. Jesus said, whosoever shall call upon me shall be saved. He's honored for his greatness in verse 12. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and he made intercession for the transgressors. And one day he rules and reigns with his with our God as Savior of the world. Amen. What a great day the judgment's going to be. It's not something to really look forward to. We've got a responsibility now, and that's to tell others about Jesus. But one day, the Bible tells us, in Revelation chapter 20, that there's going to be a great white throne judgment. And all those who have accepted Jesus will already be secured. They've already been to heaven. At that great white throne judgment, though, all those, the Bible says, the small and the great will stand before God. They will be judged out of the books. And those who have never accepted Jesus will have to go to a Christless eternity in a lake of fire. I don't want anyone to go there. You think of your worst enemy, you really don't want them to go there. We need to be about telling others about Jesus. I'm thankful for our Savior who suffered in our behalf that heaven might be our eternal home. Lord, we love you tonight. We thank you so much for the truth of your word. We're so thankful for that work that Jesus did there on the cross of Calvary, dying for our sins, that heaven might be our eternal home. And I pray tonight, Lord, if there be someone here that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, that sometime before they leave here tonight, that they might allow us to take a Bible, share with them from the Word of God how they can know that they're saved and on their way to heaven. Lord, as Christians, I pray that we might rejoice in this fact and that we might pick up the responsibility of sharing you with a lost and dying world in which we live. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your love. We ask these things in your name. Amen. Would you stand with me tonight? Brother Charlie's going to lead us in a verse of 308. I surrender all. If God's spoken to your heart tonight, I encourage you to come. The altar's open. Whatever your need, would you come?
All to Jesus I surrender.
Be seated for just a minute. Brother James is going to come and do our prayer time. Would ask that we found out today about Brother Barry's dad. If you would be praying for Brother Barry's dad and lift him up in prayer as he goes through this time. I know they would appreciate the prayers too for their family, battling with not making a decision for dialysis, things like that. We just need to be praying for him. And then some will remember little Tanner. We prayed for him in the past. He passed just this week. And so little Tanner's gone, hopefully, to heaven. And we just keep praying for his family, if you would. Brother James.